thinking about what to share today and thinking of Father's Day. I don't know, I probably have dealt with more emotions than I have in a long time. Just thinking about being a father. And I know we had our Father's Day message last Sunday, and so I feel like today is not even a message. I'm just going to share my heart with you, which I'm maybe going to feel just a little bit different than a normal message. And I still wanted to speak to us fathers and challenge us fathers in some way and bless our fathers here. So we'll have our second round. How many of you went and bought tents this week? That was really, really appreciated what Gerald shared with us last Sunday, and the magnitude of one man's influence, that one man's influence can have on a family and generations. I thought this week, just pondering that, I think sometimes, that we think simple things in life aren't good enough sometimes. Just simple, very simple, basic things. We think we need more than that. We think we need to give our children the best and offer them the best. And I think sometimes the things that we really want and go after really in the end come around and bite us in the tail. If we would just enjoy the simple things of life. A roof over our head, food on our table. Like simple things. And I think that's kind of what the influence too is big. So anyway, I'm not sure why I could much easier preach a Mother's Day message than I can a Father's Day message. I'm not sure why it's like that. I think I tend to, when I just stop and think about fatherhood, I see a lot of my shortcomings and failures and regrets that I feel deeply, I guess, when I look at it. And that the fact that my children are about grown and almost gone. That window is closing quickly. And I don't know, it's a little sobering to tell you the truth. And then I wonder sometimes, I feel like, if I even know how to love well. Do I know how to love? And it's easy for me to care. It's easy for me to serve. I can give my body to be burned. But I wonder sometimes if I know how to love. And that struck me the other Sunday when Jamin preached that message on just loving our neighbor more than ourselves. And Man, I have so much room to grow in this area of love and loving deeply and caring for people deeply. Matthew 10, verse 37 says, "He that loveth father or mother more than me is not worthy of me, and he that loveth son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me." Man, that's a strong statement Jesus gave us there. You really love Jesus? Fathers, you love Jesus more than you love your children right there beside you this morning. Anyway, we'll leave that one go. I still have my father alive today, and I was blessed with a wonderful father. Someone that I felt loved most of the time. I remember a time in my life where I wondered maybe a little bit, did Dad love me? But I felt very secure with my dad. I felt protected. I felt like he trusted me. He affirmed me. I can easily remember places and spots and times where Dad spoke affirmation to me as a son. And I also knew without a shadow of a doubt, if I did wrong, oops, I would get disciplined. Dad didn't spare the rod. He would bring it out. And the other thing that I very much felt growing up is I felt like I belonged. I didn't feel like a bother to my mom and dad. I felt like I belonged there. And I was always glad to be introduced as their son. There was no shame in that for me to be introduced as Willie and Edna Miller's son. I did send a text out to all the dads in our church on Wednesday. There was 13 men that I sent it out to. I received about 30% replies on my questions, so thank you to those who took the time to reply. I asked them three questions. I said, and I was hoping to kind of use this as a catalyst to the message today, and it still is kind of. But the three questions I asked is, what is the thing you enjoy most being a father? What is the hardest thing for you being a father? And if you could change one thing as a father, what would it be? Like, as a lot of you guys are still young, and you still have room to make adjustments. But, you know, is there any regrets as you look back, or what would it be that you would change? So I'm just going to share some of these results that came back. I'm not going to put names to it. The first question, what is the thing you enjoy most about being a father? Children, you need to listen to this so you hear what your dad is saying, what he likes most about being your dad. One is being needed and just being together, enjoying simple things together. Someone else said, having my kids come running to give me a hug when I come home from work, running out the lane or running outside, right? That's a highlight of this Father's Day. Spending time with my children, whether it's working together or just having a good time. Enjoy worshiping together the most. This father, that's what he enjoys the most with his children, enjoys worshiping together. There's something about being together in the presence of God that blesses me. And then he goes on, teaching my children things and then seeing them do those things and sometimes becoming better at it than me. Yep, that happens. Enjoying working and playing together. Someone else said, coming home from work and seeing the kids run out the lane to meet me. And I believe if all the fathers would have replied, that would have maybe been one we would have heard more of. Very simple. Just run out and be excited that your dad's home. Blesses your father. Here's someone else. Seeing them develop into adults. Being together, whether it's work, worship, travel, or play. This dad loves seeing them venture out and give of their time and talents. Hearing them singing and making music. Hearing them singing a song that we sang at church. Knowing that they are hearing and learning, seeing them seeking after God. Those are some of the highlights of being a father. So let's go to the next question. What is the hardest thing for you being a father? Being consistent in putting, this is one, being consistent in putting the most important things first and not letting petty business or work get in the way of patience and time with the child. Another father said, juggling work with family time. Another one said, knowing that I am constantly setting, setting an example for my children, and knowing that I often mess up. Giving my children enough room to make mistakes, and when they do, not to come down too hard on them. On the other hand, being consistent in calling them out of their shortcomings is hard. Maybe because I see my own weakness in them, is what that father said. Here's another one. Wondering if I'm taking enough time or doing enough to teach them about God and life and the day-to-day living. Here was another one. Having the discipline to enter into my children's hearts and to know their struggles and to walk with them, to stay engaged in their lives. How to teach and discipline our children. So this father is saying, one of the hardest things as a father is how to teach and discipline our children when I see in a lot of ways the same kind of undisciplined areas in my own life. That's a big one there. That's how many fathers can identify with that one? You know, that one really hits home. Now, I think the hardest thing that would be for a father, the hardest thing would be to not see your children walk in truth. I'm thankful this morning as a father, I don't have to face that. But there are some here that do. And I think the second hardest thing for a father would be, and I'm thankful I've never had to face this either, would be to see your children hungry. That would tear my heart up. But think about all the dads that face that every day in our world. So, yeah. And then the third question was, if you could change one thing as a father, what would it be? One of them said, would not have sent my children to public school. Another one said, I would try to be more kind and loving, maybe more involved with their activities. Another one said, maybe leverage an occupation where I could spend more time with my children and to be able to interact with them in the mornings before work. And another one said, not spending enough time in teaching and training. So that was the response. And I'm sure if you're a father, you can probably identify with all those things that were shared. I think our children think that we know it all. And, you know, we think we're supposed to have all the answers for our children. But the bottom line is, children, we don't have all the answers. We act like it. But we're just grown children. Is what we are. We're just big children. And we're learning life just like you. All right, I think I'm going to leave that. Any comments on those? Maybe there's a father here that didn't respond that would like to respond to those questions. I'll give you that opportunity. It was a joy to sit there and to listen to your girls sing this morning. Your girls were sitting right there behind us, and that last song you led, they were just belting it out back there, and I was blessed by hearing that. That's a joy of a dad or a father to hear their children sing. Okay, I'm going to move on here, try to do this quick. I just want to remind us fathers a few things that our children need most from us. And just to remind us again, you know this stuff, but it's good to be reminded. But I think I want to remind us also what we need from our children. This is not a one-way street where we are just teaching our children. We can learn a lot from our children back to us to know how to learn, how to live life. And so I just started typing. Like when I put this together, it was just reflected on my own life as a father and So I think what is it that our children need the most? I would say probably the number one thing is our time. I wonder if in children's minds, I don't know what age this would be, but I wonder if children don't equate time with love. We can say we love them and we do all these things for them. I'm not sure that that communicates love to them. But you spend time with them and they click, they love me. Dad loves me. I don't know. That's just a thought I had when I was thinking through this. You probably heard this story of the boy who asked his dad when he came home from work one day, how much money do you make per hour? Do you ever ask your dad that? And your dad probably doesn't offer that information. His dad got irritated at the question and said, son, that's none of your business. But the son kept persisting, and finally the dad told him, son, I make $20 an hour. The son then asked him if he could have $10. Could I have $10? And that even made dad a little bit more irritated. Why would you ask for money? And soon the boy went up to his room, and he was up in his room, and after a while the dad started feeling bad about how he responded to his son. And the dad went up to his room, and he found his son counting out $1 bills, crumbled up $1 bills. And the dad asked him, son, why were you asking money if you had money? And he said, you know, Dad, I only have 10. I wanted 10 more to be able to buy an hour of your time. He wanted to spend an hour with his dad, and he was trying to make money so he could pay his dad for that hour. Something I treasure to this day, and at the time it used to frustrate me a little bit, and I repent of that. Back when we built the first house on Bear Branch Road, we had choice books in the garage, a 24 by 24 garage, and it seemed like I often had the opportunity to take, after lunch to, Sonia would say, hey, Marcus, I'm going to leave. Will you put Jamie down for a nap? Jamie was 1 year old when we moved into that house. And so I was right there, and I'd say, okay, I'll take care of that. And that, I would take Jamie into their nursery there, and we would sit on a rocker, and I would rock her, and we had this rhyme book that was about that thick. And Jamie could, most times, she could read the rhymes just by looking at the picture. But inevitably, by the time we got close to the end of the book, she would be nodding off. And I would lay her in her crib, cover up, and walk out. But today, I treasure those times. When I look back at childhood, that's the one thing that just, boom, stands out in my mind. Thank you for giving me the opportunity. And I repent for being grumpy at those times. Time spent with our children shouldn't mean that we have to leave for a weekend or that we have to go on vacation. Nothing wrong with those things, but if we can't spend time every day, every week, in our own setting, our work, our places of just living, then we're blowing time. All right? If we can't spend time every day at home, general living, we're blowing time. Okay, don't think that you have to leave to get away. Another memory I have as when my children were young is I would rarely get the chance to mow yard without anybody on my lap. I remember thinking, man, it would be just nice sometimes to be able to mow the yard without someone on my lap. But I look back at that time now, I wouldn't trade it for anything to have one of my children sitting on my lap mowing the yard, and soon they'd be conked out, you know, fast asleep, and we'd be bouncing around the yard mowing. You know, I treasure that was time spent together. And I think it, I don't know, there's something powerful that happens in those situations. It's easy for us to get wrapped up and just busy and I don't know, those simple things again, just spending time with your children. I think you've probably heard me say this one before, some of you at least. There was one Saturday morning where I was extremely convicted. I mean, extremely convicted. It was a busy week. It was Saturday morning, and a friend of mine came at about 9 o'clock to pick me up to go play golf. And wasn't sure if I should try to say this or not, but I will. I remember walking out the door, and William was 3 or 4, walking behind me. And he said, "Dad, where are you going?" And I said, "I'm going golfing." And I remember the look on his face. And I went golfing, and he stayed home. But I pretty much vowed I would never do that again. The Holy Spirit, man, just convicted me so much that day. And to my knowledge, I don't think I ever did it again. At least where I didn't take them with me if I went to do that. But just that time of that they need. So we have to look at our children as time spent as investment. And just, I don't know, we have to, I don't know, time is important. Training and discipline is another one. And that takes time. We can't train and discipline our children if we don't spend time with them. It's just not going to happen. Proverbs says, train up a child in the way he should go. You can train almost anything if you spend enough time and, study it, train it, spend enough time. Sorry. You can train about anything. It's the same with our children. We can train. In Proverbs, the Bible tells us to train up a child in the way that he should go. Ephesians says, but bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. Proverbs says, whoever spares the rod, you like when dad spares the rod, right? How many of you like when dad spares the rod? But you know what the Bible says? If he does, that means he hates you. That means he doesn't love you. If he spares the rod and doesn't discipline you when you do wrong, that means he doesn't love you. So when dad says, I do this not because I want to, but because I love you, he really means that, even though you don't believe it. Turn in your Bibles to Hebrews 12. I'm just going to read some verses here that were interesting to me. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 6 through 11. And this is talking about our Heavenly Father. Listen to this, but I think it can relate to our earthly fathers as well. It says, Hebrews 12, verse 6, it says, for whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth, and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. If ye endure chastening, God dealeth with you as with sons. For what son is he whom the Father chasteneth not? But if ye be without chastisement, whereof all are partakers, then are ye bastards and not sons. Furthermore, we have had fathers of our flesh, that means our earthly fathers, which corrected us, and we gave them reverence. Shall we not much rather be in subjection unto the fathers of spirits and live? For they verily for a few days chastened us after their own pleasure, but he for our profit, that we might be partakers of his holiness. Now no chastening, no spanking seems pleasant, right? No chastening seems present, for the present seemeth to be joyous, but grievous. It hurts. Ouch. Nevertheless, afterward, it yieldeth the peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised therein. Discipline has positive effects. It cleanses. It is security. I don't know what all it is, but it has positive effects. Isaiah 28, verse 9, it says, whom shall he teach knowledge? And whom shall, this is going back to the teaching, switching from training or discipline. And whom shall he make to understand doctrine? Listen to this. Them that are weaned from milk. That means we start at a young age teaching and training our children. Another thing our children need is affirmation. I love that scene where the dove descended from heaven and this voice shouted out, and it said to Jesus, and it was being spoken to Jesus from his Father, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. I love that setting, and I think just children need to know that we as parents, fathers, we enjoy our children. We're pleased with them most of the time. Hearing my dad or mom say to someone, "This is my son, Marcus," it was just a warm feeling that went through me. And I trust that's how your experience is. I'm going to skip over some of this stuff. Our daughters need to know that you love them and that you will protect them and that you think they are beautiful, but make sure they know that it's what's in the heart. Teach them what is in the heart that is really beautiful. And teach them what that is all about. If we as dads don't give this to them, they will reach out to every Tom, Dick, and Harry to get it. They will. You laugh. If we don't give them the affirmation and the thought they're beautiful and that we're with them and that we think they're awesome, and they're going to go find a man to give that to them. And that should make the hair stand up on our heads, guys. Our sons need to know that we think they can do it. Whatever it takes, they have what it takes. I remember William coming into my office one time. Him and Andrew, I think it was. I don't remember how old you were. But I was there working in my office, and William came in there, and I had bought a part for our lawnmower that needed to be replaced. And it seemed a little bit complicated to me, and I kept putting it off. And one day, William just walks in and said, "Dad, can I go fix that part on the mower?" And I started to say, "We'll need to wait till I can be with you." But I'm telling you, I believe it was the Holy Spirit that spoke to me at that moment and said, "Sure, go do it." And I caught myself before I said it, and I said, "Sure, go do it." Thinking in my mind, he probably not going to be able to get it done. But I kept working. They went off. And you know what? I kind of forgot about it. And it wasn't long later, they come back in and say, "Dad, it's done." I said, "What?" And I jumped up out of my chair. I went out and looked at it. Exactly like it should have been done. Blew me away. But I think our sons, our children, can do way more than what we give them the room to, what we think they can do. That's what I'm trying to say. I think it's important, moving on here, I think it's important that you trust them. Now, I don't really find this, I didn't have a verse for this. I would have had some for affirmation. I'm going to skip over them. But I think it's important that our children, that we trust them. Because that was big in my life when I was young and growing up. I felt very much that my dad trusted me. Dad would leave me on the job with equipment, like a Bobcat. And I was the only one there. It was before I had driver's license. He would drop me off the job, and he would give me a list of things to do. He said, "Here you go. You're going to be here today. You're going to work." I'd have my lunch there. Like, I was young. And I'd be running that skid steer around and doing stuff and cleaning up and I don't know what all. I look back at them like, "Dad, dude, seriously." And during the summer, before I could drive, he'd say, "Marcus, I need you to stay home today, and I want you to check the hay. Once the hay is ready to rake it, and then get the baler. I want you to bale the hay so it's all done, ready. When we come home from work, we'll pick it up." And I would do it. Like, just that trust that Dad gave me to do. I remember the first work day after I got my driver's license, Dad sent me with the truck and trailer about an hour away to get a load of block. Like crazy. But man, just the trust that Dad believed in me, I guess. That was awesome. The one thing that we're not supposed to do to our children, and the Bible is very clear about it, is that we're not supposed to discourage them. Colossians 3:21 says, "Fathers, provoke not your children to anger, lest they be discouraged." It says it in Ephesians, the same thing. A little bit different, but the same thought. Provoke has the idea of aggravating your children. We are not to aggravate our children lest they become discouraged. And this one is a little bit, I don't know, this one I guess was a little bit hard for me. How do we discourage our children by aggravating them? I thought of two ways. And I'm sure there's more. The one is, for me, when my children ask me a question, I tend to not answer them. And I let it go, and I let it go, and they're over there shaking their heads. Yep. But it aggravates them, because I don't give them an answer. And I'm not sure why I don't, other than I'm not sure what to answer. And yeah, but I know that aggravates my children. And the other thing is, I think that we need to, that can really aggravate our children, is showing favoritism to certain children. You know, you see that. There's multiple examples we could bring out in Scripture where that happened, and it wasn't very pretty. But what else? Like, do you guys, what is it that aggravates our children, or for you?
Inconsistency.
Right. And Hans, back to your thing about consistency, like, we don't fool our children. Like, so one of the, I thought of this, like, we, one thing we try to teach our children is honesty. Like, I mean, I'll spank, I used to. I probably would still, like, for a lie. No, I wouldn't. But, like, just honesty. Like, we expect honesty from our children. And yet, like, how many times has the phone rang right beside me, and I looked at it, and I laid it back down, and I didn't answer it. I'll make the comment, I don't feel like taking that call right now. Later on, in their presence, I'll pick up the phone and I'll call that person back and I'll say, hey, sorry I missed your call. I was busy or doing something else. And I just told a tale. They catch that kind of stuff. You know? And so if we expect them to be honest, we better be honest ourselves. And that, I think that's been one of my hardest things in disciplining my children, is the fact that so often I felt like my expectation for them was higher than I was holding for myself. How do you handle that? That's hard. Not sure what to do with that. Any other thoughts with aggravation? You know what Jesus said? He said, if we offend one of these little ones, and I think that offend could be discourage, cause them to stumble, it were better that a millstone were hung around our necks and taken to the bottom of Lake Grace. It doesn't say Lake Grace, but it says to the bottom of the water. That's pretty serious stuff. We can't just overlook this. What is it that we learn from our children, real quick? After all, Jesus told us, unless we become converted and become as little children, you will not enter the kingdom of heaven. So obviously there's something for us to learn from the children. I'm going to just, they teach us what trust should look like between us and our Heavenly Father. And I don't know, that's a certain age again. I'm not sure what that window is, but they just trust mom and dad. They just, it's just a childlike trust, faith you could call it. They teach us what faith looks like. They teach us what forgiveness should look like. And this is another one that has just ripped my heart apart at times when I knew, like, the hurt and the pain I brought to my child. in the way you would go to them and you would apologize and, "That's all right, Daddy, I forgive you." And they would give you a hug and trot off like it's all the past. I'm telling you, those times spoke to my heart big time. But they teach us what forgiveness should look like. And if we're looking, we can learn from them. They teach us about faith, childlike faith. They also teach us how not to act. So we can learn from our children how not to act, because they can show out and they can be selfish and all that. Anyway, just spending time together, and we can learn so much from each other. I'm going to have... Children, what's your responsibility to your father? Hello. Children, what's Winston? What's up back there? Hey, what's your responsibility to your father? Anybody have a guess? Garrison, you know. What's the responsibility? What? How else could I word that? Anybody help me? Okay. Here it is. Children, I'm going to tell you. Listen up. Your sole duty as a child, you might not like it, but it's to learn to obey. That's your sole responsibility as a child, is to learn how to obey. It's pretty simple, but it's kind of hard, isn't it? See, every one of you were born with this selfish, I want to do it my way, I want to do my thing, nature within you. It's how you were born. Even Ellie, you were born that way. It's unbelievable. But how about when your mom and dad tell you something, or dad says something that you don't like? Do you sometimes fuss and fume and raise a temper tantrum and blah, blah, stomp your feet and blah, 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 get all mad? You're learning to obey. That's your sole responsibility as a young child. Remember, if your dad lets you get his way, lets you get your way all the time, he really doesn't love you. That's what the Bible says. So remember, dad's going to sometimes say yes, and sometimes he's going to say no. But he's going to do what he thinks is best. And it's your responsibility to say, "Okay, Dad, I trust you." See, there's a reason to learn obedience when you're young. When you disobey your dad regularly and you make decisions not to honor him, you see, God will not honor someone that chooses to live like that. If you regularly and continually choose not to obey, God will remove his hand of blessing. I don't know quite what the word is there. And this isn't meant to be a threat. This is real life stuff. If we can't learn to obey, then you won't learn to obey the next level of authority, which can be your school teachers, your pastors, your policemen, your authority like that. If you can't learn to obey your mom and dad, you're not going to probably not obey them. And if you don't learn then to obey them, you're probably not going to learn to obey God. And so that's why the Bible teaches children to learn to obey. As fathers, there is no greater responsibility that we have than to make sure our children are raised in the fear of God, to be taught about God and his word, reverence for his word. Reverence for his word. I want all the children to come forward. We're going to close this thing up. It's late. Sorry. I want all the children up to, I don't know, age 14 to come forward.